Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor Austin Schuler helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor Austin with the message.
Come on, everybody. Can you believe it's Thanksgiving weekend? I tell you what, if you're in St. Louis, if you're Weldon, Ferguson, you really love Jesus because it's cold and rainy. But hey, we are in week two of our brand new series called Hashtag Blessed. If you're taking notes, I want you to write a few things down really quickly. One is this. If you're a lot like me, I'm big on taking notes, but I can't always listen as fast as I write. Anybody? A couple of us. So on the Faith Church app right now, you can actually go download it. And if you see right there on the homepage, it says notes. You can click on it and you can actually grab my notes and interact throughout and take those notes. It's a little bit easier. Sometimes I'm the worst at it. And I go, what did that guy say? I can't remember. Fill in the blank or it leaves empty. So make sure if you want that, you can go grab it right now on the app. But three things I want you to write down that are coming up on your calendar. One is this. This coming Saturday, December 2nd, right here at our Sunset Hills campus. So if you're at Weldon or Ferguson, you're online, wherever you're at, I want to invite you to come. We're going to be doing a Christmas tree lighting. We're going to have activities for all the family. It's a free night. And if you're like, man, I want to do some stuff with my kids, that'll be a night that you want to make sure you're a part of. Also, if you heard the Vision Weekend was just a few weeks ago, Pastor David talked about an open door in 24, what the vision looks like for Faith Church, what we can circle around and we can do together to not only just build the church, but build two churches, one in Fairview Heights. Come on, can we give it up for our new Illinois location? And then our location, our third location in Florida, in Lake Worth, Florida. And so what's amazing is God is using us, all of us, everybody say together. I'm telling you, not one of us can do this alone, but all of us together can make some impact happen. And so one of the ways we can do that is by giving our Jesus offering, bringing our best this holiday season. Many times it's easy to forget about the reason for the season. Is it about family? Yes. Is it about getting some time and presence, time together with our families? Yes. But the ultimate reason is celebrating Jesus. So make sure you join us for that Jesus offering happening on December 9th and 10th. And then the last thing is Faith Church Christmas. This is for your friends, your families, your neighbors. We want to encourage you to invite. You'll see a spot at the end of service, kind of fun, our team put together. They actually created it in-house with the Grinch. It's crazy some of the creativity the team has. But we're going to have pictures with Santa. There's going to be hot cocoa, other activities. Again, that's a free weekend for you and your family. So don't miss out on those activities that are coming up. But again, we're on week two of our brand new series called Hashtag Blessed. Let me ask you this question. Anybody need more in your life? Do you want more? Raise your hand. Okay, come on, Ferguson, Weldon. You know, I'm actually a little jealous. My wife's at Weldon right now with our son. He turned 3 this last week on Thursday. And many times when we say, man, I would love a blessing, I'd love more, most of us instantly start to think about money. Or we start to think about things. But living a blessed life isn't just about finance. Now, last week, Pastor David talked about we're blessed to be a blessing. Scott and Jennifer, you guys understand this. You can't really be a blessing unless you're blessed. Now, you can be generous, but if we're going to go above and beyond, God has to be able to trust us. He has to be able to bless us. But many of us, you're actually looking at life going, man, I'm not blessed. But if you walked into a location today, you're blessed. If you got up and had air in your lungs this morning, you're blessed. If you had a vehicle to drive to a location today, or a computer or a phone to join online, you're blessed. See, it's not about money. So I'm going to start off the get right here, because you probably walked in if it's your first time. Church talking about wanting my money. Here's the caveat. We don't want it. When did you go to a church? And they said that right out the gate. Don't give. Why? Because you'll have wrong understanding of the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So my hope today is by the end of this sermon or this talk is that you'll understand, hey, if you want to live a blessed life, you have to do some of the things that the Bible says. If you want to stay where you are, then keep doing what we're doing and we'll keep getting what we're getting. You know, I was talking to one of our friends and a few years ago here in St. Louis, he sold his business for over $70 million. And some of you go, wow, $70 million. Man, I wish God would give me a business like that. Man, could you imagine how generous I would be or I could be if I had $70 million? But what's crazy is they didn't start with money. They actually started tithing on their credit card for the income they wanted to receive. What's amazing to think is that took a lot of faith. Could you imagine tithing on a credit card, getting into debt, and not knowing if you'd have the money to pay it off? That's a huge step of faith, but they believed God at his word and understanding that if we would give and we would be generous, it says that the generous would actually prosper more and continue to be generous in every way. And thinking about hashtag blessed, like, okay, as we give, do we have the understanding of what that looks like with our finances? And I asked him, I love to get around people, whether it's athletes or people in corporate or in business or a dad or a mom. Hey, you're doing great. You have great kids. Like, what's your secret? What do you do? So I asked him, I said, hey, what do you think was the reason you were able to build this business from nothing? And here's the quote he gave me. He said, I'm not just a tither. I would call myself, his words, an investor in the kingdom. Some of us today, we came in and we don't think about ourselves as investors. We think as we have to. But the Bible actually says that God loves a cheerful giver, not one that has to give, but chooses to give and gives joyfully. When I talked to him about what it looked like in his life, he said, listen, Austin, I had to make a decision in life to be generous. And I'll tell you a story and reason why. My son, again, he just turned 3, but straight out the womb, that guy is stingy. The other day, I bought him some Skittles. I got any Skittle lovers? Anybody like Skittles? I love these things. And I got him a pack of Skittles, and I gave him some Skittles the other day. And I said, hey, you want some Skittles? He said, yeah. Kid loves candy. He's just like his mom. And when I gave him the candy, he wouldn't give me any candy back. I said, can I just have one or two? He said, no. I said, bud, I'm the one who gave you the candy. Like, I want the candy I gave you back, basically. And I think many times, that's what we look like to God. God has given us so many things in life, and then God says, hey, I want to bless you, but can I trust you? Can I bless you? Will you return to me, not the whole thing, but just a little bit? And most of the time, we're living with a closed hand, but the Bible says we have to sow seeds to receive a harvest. Come on, are you with me today? You have to sow to grow. And some of the things that we forget is we walk in and we believe, you probably have a prayer right now going, God, I want to believe for more. Or maybe this is what you do, you invest. Let's talk about investing for a second. If you would have invested in McDonald's, I think they have a slide they're going to put up on here, $1,000 when they first went public, it would today be worth $4.1 million. If you invested $1,000 in Walmart, it would be worth $9.6 million. How many, this is the one you wish you would have invested in. IBM, 1,000 when they went public in 1947, and now it's worth over $64 million. I think sometimes, though, we look back and we go, man, I wish I could go back and do that, but we actually have an opportunity in front of us which is so much bigger. Because I think about what the kingdom of God looks like. When we invest in his church, we're building 2 churches. Why? It's not just to build a church. It's to build a space and a place for you and your family to say, man, I have lost loved ones that were just like me. I have a past. I have a story. And many of you may even know some of it. You got a front row seat to a preacher's kid trying to figure it out. But can I tell you, I'm thankful for the grace of God that there was a local church to love on me, not quit on me, to say, you know what? We're going to believe the best in this guy. And I'm telling you, that's what we have to sow into somebody else. Sowing isn't just about money. It's a principle of understand sowing into someone else. Have you ever wanted good friendships? But first, you got to be a good friend. If we want some things, we have to look at what are we actually giving out? What are we sowing? Because we have a great opportunity to sow into the open door in 24. We have a great opportunity to help plant these campuses, which will bring forth life-changing families. If you're saying, man, I would love God to do something in my family, when's the last time you sowed into someone else's? When's the last time you said, hey, we are going to, the reason for this season is to be generous so that we can help others. You know, Mark 4:20, it says this. It says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, and as hear the word, and they receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold return. Hebrews 11:6, it says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Some of you, when I started talking about finance and investing, you probably were like, not in this economy. Bro, I can't even buy a house. I can't get a loan. I went and bought a car. I was talking to somebody the other day. They paid like 12% on their car. And what's amazing to think is that is the mindset that won't allow God to really do something incredible in our lives. Because we think the government or the bank is determining the blessing. The government and the bank was never the one to determine your blessing because God said he is the ultimate blesser. Here's what we can find in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound, not some, not in good time, but it says all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiencies in all things at all times. See, that all times is the key because so many of us think when there's a good economy or there's a low economy. When the news says we can and the news says we can't. But I'm here to tell you today that God says at all times that he is blessing us in all things, in every way, in every season. Come on, is somebody following me today? At all locations, Weldon, Ferguson. It's amazing to think if we would just trust God. But are we trusting him? Have we said, God, I want to be a blessing. Bless me so that I can bless others. Okay, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to put action to it. I want to give you two approaches to life. Number one is this. It's a shortage mindset. And this may be currently how we're living life. Many of us may have walked into a location this way. And here's what a shortage mindset says. It says, I never have enough and I never will. Bible words we see when reading through scripture, lacking, wanting, need. The focus is our limited resources, but the result becomes an overwhelmed life. Again, with Liam, I have these Skittles and I think, man, I'm giving him something, I'm being a blessing to him, and all I ask for is a little bit back, but yet he closes his hand and doesn't give anything back. See, many of us are living that same way, but we can't live a blessed life with a shortage mindset. See, if he would have just given me this back, he doesn't understand that I'm his father. The same guy who gave him one pack of Skittles, how many know? I could have bought him another pack of Skittles. But in that moment, come on parents, anybody, I did not buy him any more Skittles. I actually took the pack and said, you're not getting any more Skittles today. Then therefore it ruined my next hour and a half while he yelled in the back of the car. But how many of us were wanting to live a blessed life, but we're not willing to take the action to receive the outcome? Philippians 4:19, it says, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the second mindset is this. It's a surplus mindset. And then some of us are catching on to a surplus mindset, and some of us are saying, hey, I want to move from a shortage to a surplus. I want to be a blessing. I want to receive more. I want God to trust me with more. I want a bigger house. I want a better car. I'm believing for more finances to invest and make a difference because it's okay to have things, but the things can't have you. See, if the things have your heart, that's where there's a wrong relationship. God wants to bless you. You're going to see it. He not only wants to bless you, he said he wants you to overflow, but he can't do that if we're being stingy with what he's put in our hands. Matthew 10:8 says this, freely you have received, so freely give. I gave Liam that Skittle, but many of us, again, are holding on to that Skittle, Weldon, and we're dropping it around. God's saying, put it over here, and we're like, I'll put it over here, God. No, I'm gonna invest over here. No, I bought that truck. I'm already in a little debt. Might as well get in a little bit more. I want it matte black. I don't want it shiny silver anymore. No, I want to buy a new car even though I don't have the income to offset. And so what we find ourselves doing is we actually start emptying out the seeds and throwing it all over the place, and we don't actually strategically put it where God has called us to plant it. See, when we plant seed, we see harvest, but when we throw seed, it gets eaten up. And many times, it's not even that we're planting it in the wrong places, but we actually have a closed hand. And when we have a closed hand, God's saying, hey, Austin, I'm trying to bless you, but I can't bless what you don't allow me to put in your hand. Liam, I would give you more Skittles if you would just allow and give me back what I've already given you, but you've proven to me I can't give you anymore. I made a huge mess, but I couldn't hold on to any of it. Why? Because I had a shortage mindset to say what I have isn't enough, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna hold on to it, hold it close. But can I tell somebody today, maybe you're at Ferguson, what's in your hand may not be enough, but it may be a seed to receive a harvest in the days, months, and years to come. But if we don't sow it, we'll never see it. And if we're not seeing it, maybe there's something in this process we need to revisit. 2 Corinthians 8:2, it says this, and they're being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. You go, man, I don't know if I have the money, but watch this. But they're also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. That sounds like surplus to me. It sounds like blessing to me. Our joy is directly tied to our generosity. If you're not joyful, you probably won't be generous. Come on, we all have that friend that you know right now. If you had to pick one friend to go to the gas station with and forget your wallet, but you really wanted that protein shake, you really wanted that Red Bull or that drink, who do you pick to be in line with you that would say, oh, you don't have your wallet? I got it. But we all also have that friend that says, oh, you don't have your wallet? Neither do I. I thought you were paying. We all have those generous friends and we have those stingy friends. But are we prepared for that blessing that God has? Maybe you're saying, hey, I'm sowing. I have an open hand, but I'm not prepared for what God has. Do you guys remember when Chick-fil-A and Popeyes, it was like all over social media, like which one is the better chicken sandwich, Popeyes or Chick-fil-A? And all of a sudden, Popeyes hadn't seen a resurgence like this in years. I remember maybe when I was in college, they were popular, but it hasn't been like this. Next thing I know, every Popeyes I drive by, there's a huge line for this chicken sandwich. But all of a sudden, I drove by a Popeyes one day to see how it was going, and there was a sign outside that said, we're out of chicken sandwiches. How many know they probably weren't ready for the overflow of business that was coming to them? They didn't have the right processes. They didn't have the right understanding. They didn't have the right team, the right people around them. So what happened? They lost on opportunity. And of course, Chick-fil-A, who's closed on Sundays. Of course, I'm talking about Chick-fil-A on a Sunday. I'm sorry, but chicken minis are from heaven. I'm just saying. And I went to a Chick-fil-A and they had a sign outside. And guess what it said? We don't run out of chicken sandwiches. Tell me who was ready for the opportunity. Was it Popeyes or was it Chick-fil-A? Can I tell you, some of us today, we're wanting the blessing, we're asking for the blessing, but you're not ready for it yet. Because if God poured out a blessing, could you contain it and could you use it? Could you be a blessed to be a blessing, or will you be blessed to be stingy? What is our relationship, Ferguson, with what's in our hand? And if we allow it to go out and we posture ourselves well, can we be ready for the blessing? God said he is looking to and fro who he can find faithful to bless, but the faithfulness is the thing that could unlock that key of harvest you've been praying for. Ask your neighbor, say, are you ready? Come on, ask your other neighbor, say, are you ready? Look back at your neighbor one more time and say, they need a Tic Tac. Just kidding. But maybe this is your opportunity. Okay, how can I start doing this? One of the ways is you can jump on this opportunity to be a part of the Open Door in 24 campaign. You know what's incredible is we had some business people come alongside and say, hey, we know we need $6 million to build out these campuses, but what we want to do is we want to come alongside and ask the church only for $3 million, and we want to match the other three. And I'm so thankful for our kingdom builders that understand that they are blessed to be a blessing. So when we give, maybe you're giving $500. That's really like giving $1,000, because every dollar we give up to that $3 million gets matched by somebody else. But here's the thing, we don't unlock the matching if we don't give. And so some of you, you're saying, man, I would love to be a part of this. So all you have to do is make sure you get an Open 24 booklet, grab that pledge card. I don't want you to just write it down. Maybe you've already been praying, but I don't want to encourage you, pray about it. Like actually ask God, God, what would you do? Because God's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something in you and to you. And when we understand what God is trying to do in us and through us, it changes everything about what we do. Psalm 23:5, it says this, you fill my cup to overflowing. Another version actually says, you give me more than I can hold. Come on, in every location, anybody want more than you could hold? Come on, how many times you wake up, you're like, man, if I just had more, I would be able to do this and I'd be able to do that. Having no issue, having lack and having surplus, those are two totally different things. And maybe you're asking, what's my cup? Well, that's just our life. We see this in John 7. On the last day of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Everyone who really believes in me will have rivers of living water flowing out of their lives. You know, two friends of mine, we were just together the other day. We did a Thanksgiving outreach. You'll see some highlights a little later from the offering. But it's Anquan and Deion Bolden. Now, Anquan, you may know his name and what he did. He was in the NFL lots of years. They attend one of our locations in Florida. I have the opportunity to just know their family. And man, I'm telling you, that guy right there is one of the most generous people I've ever met. It's not about what he did, because some of you are CFOs, CEOs. You're the top in your field. That's all he was. It's the top in his field. He's not a football player. He's a guy that played football. And he understands that the blessings he received in his career were to be blessed to be a blessing. Many of you may not know this, but every team Anquan went on, I went to breakfast with him the other day, and I always want to lean in and ask questions. He led a Bible study in a chapel every team. If the team didn't have it, he made it. And every team he left, he not only wanted to invest on the field, he wanted to invest in the lives of the players because he knew you're going to be on this football team for a little bit, but you can be on Team Jesus forever. If you would just give your life to him and understand that the blessing isn't the field, the blessing isn't the money, the blessing is what you can receive. Come on, Landon, you understand this. Your dad played for the Cardinals for forever. I mean, it's amazing to see that that season goes by quick, but your life can change forever. What is an overflowing blessed life? It's to be filled beyond capacity with an endless supply of God's goodness. What does Isaiah 48 say? And I am the holy God who rescues you for your own good. I teach you and I lead you along the right path. How I wish that you would obey my commands and then your success and good fortune would have you overflowed in river, a flooding river. See, what's harder than waiting on God is many times wishing we would. See, I see a lot of people, and maybe you've seen this, especially around the holidays. We buy gifts for people we really don't like to impress them, and then we find the credit card bill on January 1, and we go, "Who stole my credit card?" Maybe that's just my wife. Her and Amazon have like this relationship I'm a little jealous of. Every day I receive about 3 or 4 emails and it's like, "Your Amazon order is on its way." I'm like, "Babe, what is this?" And she's like, "I don't know what happened. It just said get now." I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, "Don't click now." Like, that's what you do. But many times we try to get ahead of it and we try to bless ourselves before God is blessing us. And then maybe you find yourself in that way today and your credit card debt is overwhelming. Your debt is overwhelming, but what's amazing is God says when you put him first that he can actually cancel all of those things out, that he can cover you. And what's amazing is I've seen, man, massive debt reduction just by people putting God first, where things show up in their mailbox that say, "Your debt has been forgiven, your school loans have been forgiven," but it all starts with having that right mindset of what God can do. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and they said, "You know, it's crazy, as I was dating this guy, and all of a sudden he was, you know, taking me to these nice dinners and buying me flowers, and then he would take me out, and this girl, she was like, man," I was like, "who is this guy? He's going above and beyond, he's buying me gifts," and she's like, "and then he proposed, we got married." And she said, "and then all of a sudden when we were married, I got our first credit card bill and I started looking through the itemized section." She's like, "wait a minute, that was the dinner you took me on. Wait a minute, those are the gifts you got me." She said, "what's funny is the gifts in the restaurant and the food I received then is what I'm now paying off myself now." Some of us were trying to live a lifestyle we can't sustain to get to places we were never called to be. But what if we just live in the purpose and the place that God has for us? John 10:10 says, "I come that you would have real life and enjoy it in abundance to the fullest until it overflows." But many of us are trying to get ahead of God's timing. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. I'll give it a few things. Number one is this: to live and receive an overflowing blessed life. Number one is this: you have to stay connected to Jesus every day. Prayer, church attendance, serving communities, getting small groups. Because if you only see it on the surface, you can't fix it at the source. Many of us, we have things going on in life, but we're not fixing the actual root of the issue. And it may be generosity, it may be blessing, or it may just be we need to start at square one and we need to stay connected to Jesus. Can I tell you, there's times in life where I've been very far from Jesus and I've been very close with Jesus. But when I get far away, I go, man, I need to get recalculated. I need to get back in church. I need to get realigned with what I know to do. Because when you do that and you line up with God, that's where the blessing flows. John 15:5. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you stay connected to me." I love that line right there because that means we can get unconnected. But when we get connected, he's the vine. Have you ever seen something that's connected to the vine? It flourishes. It has life. Some of us, if life feels like we don't have life right now, if it doesn't feel like we're flourishing, then I want to encourage you, are you connected to the source? And he says, when we're connected, you'll produce a lot of fruit, but you can't do anything without me. I want to give you an action plan. With every point, I want to try to give you something. Maybe this week, every night, try leaving your Bible open to where you currently were bookmarked. And then every week, or maybe for the next month, and you get up and read a little bit each day. I'm not saying you read a whole chapter. I'm not saying you read a whole book of the Bible. But what if you read a little something and say, hey, in a week, how do I feel? Do I feel more connected? Do I feel hungry for Jesus? Have you ever noticed this? When I'm working out, I always eat healthier. But when I'm not working out, Chick-fil-A is always calling. Okay, just me. I know you just got out of Thanksgiving. We all have our stretchy pants on. I do too, okay? But we have to make sure we're putting the right process with the right outcome. Second thing is this, if we complain, we'll remain. We have to be grateful. Man, I wish God would bless me. You know, I don't have that much money. Well, I'm not that blessed. Well, if I had more, I would give more. No, we will be what we are now, magnified when we have money. See, if we're blessed, God will say, man, you're just gonna go buy a bigger house. You're just gonna go buy a bigger car. But if we don't have a right relationship with what it means to be blessed, to be a blessing to someone else, we have to be generous. See, generosity, by the way, at the beginning, joy is tied directly to our generosity. But if we don't have joy, we won't be generous. And if we're not generous, we won't have joy. Also, if you go and study scripture, it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. No joy, no strength. No strength, no joy, no joy, no generosity. No generosity, no flourishing. You seeing how it's connected? So what we have to do is we have to make a decision today to say, God, I'm gonna lean into your word. I'm not gonna continue to eat the seed that you've put in my hand. Instead, I'm gonna sow it to receive all that you have for my life. You know, we took our son Liam to Disney. By the way, Disney is so expensive. My gosh, it's like 12 bucks for ice cream. It's like $32 for a soda. And as soon as we get there, my first question is, when can we leave? Can we get out of here? And we took our son, and he's going on all the rides. It's been like 8-9 hours at Disney. And all of a sudden, we're leaving, and I'm thinking, I'm going to ask him, man, how'd you love Disney? How was it? And I'm thinking he's going to be like, it was great, Dad. Thanks. I asked him, I said, how was it, bud? He said, I didn't get the red balloon. Are you kidding me? Come on, if you're a parent, you know, you're like, bro, I gave you everything. Like, I woke up at 6 o'clock. You got Mickey ears, you got a bag, you got every red balloon. And many times that's what God is looking at us and saying, man, I blessed you in so many areas. And then we go to God and we go, God, but you didn't give me that girl, you didn't give me that guy, you didn't give me that job. Man, I'm a tither. I wanted that promotion. Well, what if God said, I don't want to give you that promotion? What if there's something better ahead? And instead of praying for what we want, what if we start saying, God, what would you have for my life? What would allow me to overflow? What would allow me to open up the floodgates of my life, God, that when I sow seeds, I don't rub the genie? God's not a genie. Hate to tell you, but he's not. You don't just rub the lamp and go, what are my three wishes? If it was, man, that'd be great. Could you imagine? You already know your three wishes. Like, okay, I'd ask for this, I'd ask for this, I'd ask for this. But he said, instead, the faithful man will abound in blessing. Whatever you ask in the name of the Father, it will be yours. But first, we have to align ourselves with the word of God. And what I found is this, is perspective tends to change everything. Philippians 2:14, it says this, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing. Colossians 2:7, it says, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all God has done. So an action plan would be this. Before you get out of bed every morning this week, maybe make a list of 10 things that you're grateful or thankful for. Maybe you're like, man, I can't think of 10 things. Great, start where you can. I did this the other day, and like I got 7. Like, think what you're really thankful for. Because then like the last 3 were like, I'm thankful for my car. I'm thankful for my, I'm like, come on, this is like, what am I really thankful for? By the end of the week, I'm telling you, you'll start to look at things and you'll go, man, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I woke up today. I'm thankful I don't have depression anymore. I'm thankful I don't have suicidal thoughts anymore. Maybe that's not your story, but that's mine. Maybe you don't feel like that now, but maybe you felt like it then. Can I tell you, you can't look at somebody and know their whole journey. You can't look at somebody and know their whole story, but we can choose to celebrate other people and have that action plan. Number 3 is this. I'm almost done. Stop comparing and start being content. See, sometimes what not to do is just as important as what to do. Proverbs 14:30, it says, it's healthy to be content, but envy will eat you up. It is better, Ecclesiastes says, it is better to be content with what you have than to always be struggling for more. That's like chasing the wind. Could you imagine if you saw somebody like running outside, just going like this? Like, what are you doing, bro? I'm chasing the wind, man. I'm gonna go grab it. We don't wanna look like that in life. Number 4 is this, last point, is we have to stop being stingy and start being generous. You know, my sister, I know she's joining online right now, and so this story's for you, Ashton. It was funny, the other day, Morgan, my wife and I and Ashton, we were out and we were going to do something fun, and I was like, wait a minute, how much is this gonna cost? And I'm always that guy, like Morgan's the fun person, I'm the budget person. I'm like, okay, what is this really gonna cost me? Morgan's like, just shut up and give me your credit card. I'm like, okay, here we go. And then I start complaining. I'm like, wait, if we're gonna do that, what's that gonna cost? Well, if we're gonna do that, what's that gonna cost? And Ashton literally said, hey, stop being stingy. And I was like, whoa, I'm not being stingy. She said, here's the deal. If you're gonna go with us, you can no longer ask how much it's gonna cost, what we're gonna do. You just have to enjoy it. Can you do it? And I said, I don't know. She said, well, then you ain't practicing what you're preaching. I was like, oh my gosh. But we gotta put into practice what we're hearing. Because people like to be around generous people. You love to be around generous people. I love to be around generous people with our time, talent, and treasure. Who's that person you can call on right now that you know if you had a need, they'd be there at your side? Who's that person you can call on right now that you know if you needed something in your life to help, maybe at the house? You don't know, you're not an electrician, but you know one. Who do you have you can call that can come help you? Because when people are generous, you know exactly who you can call on. And we serve a God that says you can call on me in any time of need. I said it at the beginning, but God says he loves a cheerful giver. I want you to do this with me at all locations. I want you to go ahead and stand to your feet, and I'm going to close here in just a second, but I want to give you this scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, it says, remember this, a stingy planter will only reap a small crop, but anyone who sows generously will reap generously, so each of you should give generously, considering to what you want to give God, not reluctantly. Further down it says, God is able to bless you with all his grace, so that in all things at all times you will always have all you need. You'll also overflow. Wow, that's powerful. So you can give every good work. I want you to say this with me. Say overflow. See, when I think of this bucket versus this packet, God's not even asking for the whole packet. He's asking for a little bit. And today I want to encourage you. Some of you guys are taking your eating your seed that God gave you to sow. I don't know, God. I don't know if it's going to be enough. I'm just going to eat on it. You know, what about the bread? I need to get... You gave seed to the sower, bread to the eater. This is my eating time. But God's saying, no, that's what I gave you to sow. And some of us today, that's the missing piece, that if we would sow, and God can see that he can bless you to be faithful and to be generous, he's the one that controls the outcomes and starts saying, hey, I'm gonna pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Come on, in every location, anybody thankful that God just doesn't give you enough? He gives you more than enough. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And it may look a little messy, but when you're generous, you just don't care. You just keep going and going and going. And I feel bad for whoever's gonna clean this up. I wanna pray for you today. And you say, man, I'm believing God that I wanna be more generous in my life. I wanna receive all he has for me. I want you to go ahead and stretch your hand to the front. I'm gonna pray for you. Father, I thank you today. I thank you that we are blessed to be a blessing. I pray over each and every person under the sound of my voice at Weldon, online, Ferguson, here at Sunset Hills. God, I thank you that you're calling in the blessings from the north, the south, the east, and the west, that everything our hand touches will multiply and turn to good, that we are no longer going to operate in a shortage mindset, but in a surplus mindset. We change it today. We start operating and be a part of your church to make a difference, and we know the best is yet to come. In Jesus' mighty name, come on, and everybody said amen and amen. Amen.